Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. And you know what? We got the Masters. Can I say that? Crappie sure. Masters. Arkansas Crappie Masters. The champions. They'll have to move the trophy so they can see your face after a while. But here, Greg Robinson and Parker Adair, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep, are in. And they won it by the hair of...
Chinny chin
Greg,
chin.
Greg's chinny chin chin, I think. Yeah, but they are.
0.10 or 0.11.
Yeah. So you guys won the Arkansas Crappie Masters, the championship that was in town, and you are also the Anglers of the Year.
Yes.
So we're going to find out all about that, and let's just start with how'd you two end up fishing together? Was that random, or how did that end up? How'd that happen?
Actually, we met last year, and throughout the year before, Parker had decided to fish the circuit last year by himself, and then I had a trip or two, and Parker helped me out on those, and so we had new trips, some friends stuff, and anyway, we go out and we. Got more acquainted, and then at the end of the year of his tournament last year, we should have won a championship. And some things between, not having an extra hand to help net fish to taking care of the fish and alive keeping them alive. And, I mean, there's just a lot of going on besides just fishing and catching five fish.
That's right.
And so... Parker asked if I would be willing to fish with him this last year, and man, what a privilege it's been and a blessing. I tell you, our friendship has grown, I was just really proud to have that opportunity.
Yeah.
To fish with Parker.
So Parker's around. What grade are you in?
I'm a senior in high school.
Senior in high school.
Yes, sir.
It only gets better.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
You had to go to school today, so yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes you just have to go to school. And
yeah, I had to bite the bullet. Too many absences, can't miss.
That's right. So. That's right. So tell them. I guess we'll get on to what you're doing later on, but also tell us. But you have a boat yourself,
yes, sir.
Whose boat are you using to fish the tournaments in?
We use my boat for three of them and Greg's boat for the rest. Greg's boat's just equipped a little better.
Oh, it is?
Now mine's equipped too, but it was just a little better equipped at the time.
Right. And so by equipped, what do you mean?
MillerTech lithium batteries, 16-inch Garmin, the Newman Coda Quest trolling motor.
Uh-huh.
I love that thing.
Yes, it's
and
awesome.
He has bigger power brakes than me.
Uh-huh.
And so we did get power brakes added to Parker's boat this last year as well.
Yep.
So
put lithiums in.
That just helped. Yep. He was able to do that.
And you got lithium for your trolling motor and also your starting battery?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
And your electronics? You have a separate one for that?
No, I'm running them all off the cranking battery.
All off cranking battery.
Big daddy cranking battery.
135?
Yep.
Yeah, he's running 135. I'm running 190.
Yeah, that's the big daddy. I got what you have.
Yeah.
That's big enough.
Greg's is a little overkill, but it's nice to know your raft's not turning off.
Well, the thing is, if it is, too, and we learned, Parker, of course, learned the first year he fished, a lot of people are.
We'll put these down so
a lot
people
of people
can see
are adding these, they're taking an ice chest. And then they put a bubbler in it, and they're going through a lot of this other stuff. And so what we chose to do is, he's got a little bit different setup than what I got in mind, but I got with that Buds bubblers.
Right.
And he actually makes a dual bubbler system, and I got 10-inch stones.
Wow.
And suction cup to the bottom of my live well. And mine wire directly to my cranking battery, and it has a remote that we can turn them on. We can turn them up. And turn them all full. We run ours wide open, both of them, and then we got a remote that will t- turn them on and off, so we don't have to go back and clip onto a battery and all that. But we also don't have to worry about keeping another battery to hook up to the. A lot of people right. are taking those ice chests and hooking them to drill batteries and stuff like that right. to be able to run them. And this way we can do. And then I got another cooler bucket, kind of like a Ingles. It's an Ingles cooler,
right?
And we've converted that into our weigh-in fish. And I carry a Budge bubbler on that as well, and it runs off its own battery.
All right. So
it's been really, really helped us a lot on our fishing.
So, Parker, give us a synopsis of your year. How'd it go? Tell about each tournament a little bit until you got to the very end.
Tournament season started at Lake Greeson, and I'd never been there.
Yeah?
But it's not a big lake, so that works out in my favor. Found the winning fish, or what I thought were the winning fish, and ended up not be.
Right.
But I lost a few biggins in that tournament, and, you know, that happens. I was in the area where the big fish was caught at the tournament, and that best average bag came. But that's just what happens. And then we got fifth place there, and then went to Blue Mountain, which is
also
my,
had a little bit of handicap there. We smashed the troll motor.
I was idling out of the dock and backing off the bank, and I hit my troll motor on the side of the marina dock. And it bent the whole armature and prop shaft.
Oh, wow.
So I was on number three all day long. If you know me, I move faster than probably anybody out there in our circuit. And that's a big part of our style. And that really put a wrench in my plan. But it was also a casting tournament. So
right.
Sure. But we can deal with casting too.
Yeah. Right.
But, and then we went to Blue Mountain. Blue Mountain was a little better tournament. Had a 979 with a 279 big fish.
Wow.
And that was a fun tournament. It was really a grind. All the big fish were kind of sucked to the bottom in the mud. And you got to be in tune with your screen to catch the biggest ones out of those bunch. Because other than that, you're just dropping and guessing. You know, it could be a drum, could be a catfish. And if you find the crappie, it could be a big crappie or, you know, the average fish that tournament that day was like a 150.
Right.
So, I mean, at one point I had 5 160s in the boat, and it's once you get the best average you think you have, and it's just searching all day for the biggest one you find, right. And I never found that big one to win.
And next tournament?
Next tournament was Millwood, and this was our worst pre-fish of the year, I would have to say.
Yeah,
I think we had – Millwood's a big fish lake. I think we had like 7.5 or 8 pounds, and we were like, yeah, there ain't no way we're going to – I think we needed at least 10.5 to do well.
We didn't even know what we was going to do for the tournament.
We completely changed up what we were doing and ended up having something on our scale, and we didn't weigh that in tournament. I don't know which scale was off, but, I mean, it didn't go our way. That was our worst finish of the year. That was the 8th.
Uh-huh.
And driving home, I was like, yeah, I don't ever – never want to finish 8th again, and we didn't. So
the right. Next tournament after that?
Oh, where was the next one? Nimrod? Is that Nimrod the next one?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, Nimrod was a grind of a tournament. Our pre-fishing was fairly good, but we didn't have a lot of fish, big fish found.
Right.
And we were hearing these stories of 2.5, 3-pound crappie coming out of this lake. We never found a 3-pound crappie the whole tournament, and we were like, man, right. We're going to get our butt kicked. And I think it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We had our 180 average like we planned, and we had over 9 pounds, and we thought we were doing pretty good. And we're running around, burning too much gas in this lake the size of Hickory Creek.
Right.
And Greg points. He's like, why don't you just stop right there? And I was like, oh, well, let's just stop right here. Stopped right there, and within 5 minutes, I saw her, and it was the biggest fish I'd seen all day. And we chased it and chased it and chased it and finally got to bite, and it was a 230.
Wow.
That's actually the biggest fish we've seen all weekend.
Oh.
And that one bumped us up quite a bit, and we caught 2 or 3 fish the rest of the day that didn't cull. But we ended up getting third, and, you know, that kind of just jump-started our year 2026 of the bridesmaid finishes. I like to call them thirds and seconds.
There you go.
Then where Washita, now that lake has got some biggins.
Big lake too, lots of islands.
We covered 60 5 miles of water.
Wow.
Pre-fishing.
And we found fish from the cleanest water on the lake to the dirtiest water on the lake. And at the end of the day, we came back to where we'd pre-fished the night before.
We fished for 2 hours.
We saw a bunch of boats in there. Well, back around the corner from where everybody else was, we were like, you know, we don't want to fish around all these people. And so we idle up around the corner and drop the trolling motor. And sure enough, there's just schools of them out there.
Wow.
And so we catch, you know, 2 or 3 2-pound crappie out there. And we're like, yeah, we're going back there and we're spending all day in that area because the fish to do it are there. And I don't think we've ever caught that many 2-pound fish in a day. It was just one after another. That was our biggest bag of the year.
I think if I remember right, on what's it called there, in that, we fished a half a mile stretch all day long, and we easily threw back 40,
160
nups. I mean, it was insane, the size of those fish.
And they were in schools of, you know, 2 to 3 to 20.
So they're fighting. Fighting over the lure.
They were angry and ready for a crappie jig.
That's what you need.
And we ended up taking third in that tournament. Uh-huh. And what the cool thing about that tournament, I'll never forget, is it's not very many lakes you can go to, and you can catch a 293 on one cast, and the next cast you catch a 226 black crappie.
Yeah. Wow, black crappie.
Black crappie, white crappie mixed in together. And it was just, I mean, I was like, we got this in the bag.
Right.
We had 11.25 pounds that tournament, and I was like, ain't no way. Nobody's coming in. And sure enough, someone comes in, they got right at 12 pounds on 5 crappie, and I was like, no other lake we go to.
Yeah. Right.
That it's the time of the year we were there was perfect. It was right. Yeah. They were kind of in that transition between the winter mode to pre-spawn mode, and we hit it perfect.
And the lake was down a little bit.
Yeah. So which one was after Ouachita? Was it championship finally?
No. We had two more
Greason,
after that.
Jeez. Greason was
No, we had Greer's Ferry, which we decided not to fish.
Uh-huh.
And the team that was behind us in points went and fished it and upgraded one of their finishes. So then we had Dardanelle after that, sure enough. And that's their home lake.
And they beat us by two ounces
or something.
That's the reason why you guys were like first and second were that close.
Yeah, they were one point ahead of us going into championship.
And at Dardanelle, our pre-fish wasn't bad. We found tons of fish, and I fished the same area I got third in last year.
Uh-huh.
And they were still there, but they were smart and hard to get to bite because the water in this back of this bay was clearer,
really clear
and
water.
More boats were back there this year fishing on them, so they were super spooky.
Five boats back there, didn't
they? Yeah, more than that. Yeah. And it was just, you know, we started in there and we had our 8 pounds by 8 o'clock. And I was like, you know what? Let's go out there and see what we can find in the dirty, dirty water. So we went out in the dirtiest water close to there and we ended up catching. Gosh, I don't know how many 150s to 180 fish rest of the day. And we caught up. We had about right at 9 pounds or 9.5 pounds. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. I think this will do.
Right.
And then we had like 15 minutes left to fish. And we're idling.
We had a 45-minute drive back.
Yeah, 45-minute drive back to the boat ramp. So one of them, in the back of my mind, I'm like, we got to keep these things alive. It's hot. It's like 95 degrees or whatever it was that day. I'm sunburned like crazy. We're coming around the mouth of this bay, and I'm looking, and the crappie, they fool you on some lakes and sometimes a year because they'll sit there and they'll fan their tails.
Uh-huh.
So they look a lot bigger than they actually are. I'm sure you've seen that here. Yeah. And so we come around, I'm like, all these fish are fanning their tails, and finally I see a big and it's not fanning their tail. And I'm like, this one's got potential. And then we get up close, shut the boat down on it, and drop the jig right in front of her face, and she just turns up and eats it. And I set the hook, lay it into that thing, and that was it from there.
The one that hurt us in that particular tournament, that we can actually say that
one
hurt
fish
us,
all year.
We had that morning, it was like the fourth fish. Parker stuck it, good fish. And I mean, it rolled up, and I mean, I've got the net. I'm just getting the net there. I mean, I was a half a second too late, and it rolled off. And then that was a winning fish right there. Mm-hmm.
And then that would have put us over the hump that tournament.
And then he came to Beaver.
Mm. Well, you know, we circled this tournament at the beginning of the year as one we wanted to take home just because it's our home lake.
Yeah.
But we know about April crappie fishing on Beaver and how many different variables there are and everything's changing. And I completely thought the whole lake was just going to – you usually get a lot of flooding in April.
Yes.
April, May is when we get our floods usually.
For the last 5 years, except for this year.
This year, well, I don't know what's going to happen. So. But it probably all come in June.
Yeah.
But, you know, we know just from past years past, fish move. Fish are moving all the time. They're trying to spawn, moving back and forth. And we kind of pre-fished, like, we thought where the fish were going and fished outside of spawning areas.
Right.
And we didn't catch any great biggins all practice. We eliminated a lot of water. We knew a lot of areas that didn't have fish. And then we started in our spot that first day. And the first one I dropped on was a 120. And then the next one I dropped on was a 140. And then we had our 7.5 pounds that we weighed in that day by 10 o'clock. Yeah. And that makes for a long day when you got a bag like that early. And we didn't culp the rest of the day.
Well, the second day was worse than that. We had our the fish that we weighed in on the second day, we had them by 8 o'clock.
It's a 8:15. Long day.
Yeah. I mean.
That bite, the wind was blowing both days of the tournament. So the first day, we caught our fish, and we got out of that area because we were like, you know, we got enough weight to be up there today.
At least we got our weight that we needed or Oh, weight that we got before we lost our
going in, I figured 7.5 pounds, 8 pounds a day.
Right.
That was what I thought was going to take home.
Uh-huh.
And that ended up being exactly true. We caught 7.5 pounds the first day and 8 pounds the second day.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So that takes us to the reason why he's grandpa. So tell us, can you tell us the story?
Why he's grandpa?
Yeah.
Oh, why he's called grandpa?
So we were... we were going to the Lake Nimrod tournament, and at Lake Nimrod, there's literally one place, one Airbnb by the lake, and we didn't have the Airbnb booked. So we searched around, me and my mom did, for hours looking for a place to stay that wasn't 45 minutes away.
Right.
So there wasn't anywhere. So we had to stay in Russellville, and the lady there was like, giving my mom fits about registering the hotel because my mom was going to be there and this, that, and the other. So I just had to say that we put him on there as my, like, grandpa guardian. And that's how grandpa. We got that.
That's how he's called grandpa.
So we get in the hotel and sleep, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that story.
You know, that's what his jersey needs to say on the back, not Robinson. It should say, like, grandpa.
We can get that fixed, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's your favorite thing to do long polling?
You know, I love casting because we do it a lot here. But, gosh, when I can get the long pole in my hand, that's when I feel in my comfort zone. Like, I feel like we're going to put up some weight that day.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, not a lot of lakes in Arkansas that you can't long pole. But there's some that you can't. And we always go to the some you can't. And that's okay. I love adversity. Right. Adversity is opportunity in my mind for fishing. You know, you get different conditions every time. And it just so happens in tough conditions, we're mentally there every time to take it home or do good enough in the tournament.
Right.
And that's a big deal is, you know, when it's really windy, when it's cold, you can't feel your feet, can't feel your fingers.
Exactly.
He's dipping his hand in the live. I mean, I feel bad for him. He's dipping his hand in the live well in 42-degree water.
He's training himself when he goes out with Lance in a minnow bucket. You just stick your hands in the minnow bucket.
He makes Lance get his minnows, but he'll call a fish in 42-degree water.
That's pretty impressive.
And, gosh. But, you know, when that happens, you got to stay locked in on what you're looking at and – I mean, that's it. I mean, you're going to get your licks at the fish you need, most likely. There are times you don't.
Right.
But most likely you will, and when that happens, you have to be mentally there and in that fish, that moment, to catch that fish. And
yeah, that one that we had on, was it, what's it called, the 292?
292,
the last fish of the day.
Last fish of the day. So tell us what you're going to do. What's your future look like? You're a senior, you're... less than 30 days away, probably.
Yeah, I'm about 2 weeks out from graduation.
Oh.
So I'm going to plan to fish at Southern Arkansas University in Magnolia, Arkansas for college. I'm going to probably fish 3 or 4 years, depends how long it takes me to finish my college education.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm a bass fisherman too, so.
Right.
That's where it all translated over to crappie fishing with all the screens and stuff.
Just missed a check this last week in the elites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were the first one out.
Yeah. When you
I handed all the checks out. You never came up for them. That's the thing.
We'll be back. So. I don't claim to be an old pro when it comes to spawn time. I'm not very good in the spawn when it comes to bass fishing or crappie fishing in general. I don't know why. I just never catch them.
Right now, they're in spawn, post-spawn.
Yeah. There's still some pre-spawners. Those two.
There's a couple.
Our big fish was a pre-spawner, and I looked out there, and it was in a brush pile. The only fish in the brush pile on this point. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's her. Threw my football jig over there, and it got the jig before it even hit the bottom. Yeah. And I just wailed into her, and I was like, get the net. So, yeah, that was a fun tournament. But I'm looking forward to the next one, which I think is May 16th.
May 16th, there's two of them in May.
Yeah, so. May's not my month, but May's, the championship's in October, and I can be okay in October.
Right. That takes us to tackle time, tackle times.
One more quick thing, if you don't mind. You was talking about our equipment, the boats. We both got power brakes. We run power brakes. Chad Clifton, you've met Chad over the years.
Yeah, he Chad's did a podcast show.
Right. And if anybody would like to help Chad in that company, not the company, actually, his wife has got battling breast cancer really bad.
Yeah.
And they're out in Arizona trying to
treatment.
Yeah, I believe treatments, it's stage four.
And then they found out last week she has a tumor on her brain. So let's remember.
Yeah.
It's really prayer.
It's a tough time, and you need to keep them in your thoughts and prayers.
If anybody can do that, let's pray for
it's
Chad.
It's on Facebook. It's called Sarah Clifton Strong.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a GoFundMe on there.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw how they had some products there people could buy. So.
Yes. Let's help these guys out.
All right. That takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures, of course, has a complete line of hard and soft baits. Anything that you're trying to catch on Beaver Lake or any lake that you live on, everything from bass to crappie to, gosh, I don't know, everything. Walleyes, you name it, you can catch them on those. Check them out at picolures.com. Also, B&M Poles. So B&M Poles is a sponsor of Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Not you yet, but maybe
never going to be me.
Never going to be you. But anyway.
He uses copy net.
Yeah. Yes. You can check out B&M Poles. Of course, they have a complete line of rods for crappie fishing, long poles, casting, or catfishing. They have so many catfish rods, it's crazy. So you can check them out at bnmpole.com. If they want to find out more about you, Greg, where would they go?
Greg's got service on Facebook or 479-601-1683.
And you have a new Facebook page.
Yeah, I'm my personal page is Parker 8 Air, but I just started a new Facebook page called Parker 8 Air Fishing, and that's going to be my future platform for all my fishing stuff. So just Parker 8 Air Fishing on Facebook or Instagram.
All right, there you go. There you have it. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lures in the water.